Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God. This is the Macedonian Call around the globe coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. So glad that you joined us tonight. We praise God for you. And if you want to be a part of this broadcast, tonight's subject is going to be on heaven. And if you want to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862, and we would love to have you on here with us. If you have a testimony, a prayer request, maybe you are a preacher, praise God. We go by the King James Version Bible. We believe in getting saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. And again, we've got many here prayer requests that we want to start giving out here soon. And we just want you to remember everything, everybody in our military, things going on in our country. Just uplift our country. Praise God. And at this time, we're going to have Rachel come, and she's going to read her scripture to you. And we just thank God for her. She's 10 years old, and we sure are blessed to have her.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Amen. Lay up your treasures in heaven. She told you the truth right there, and where the thief and the robber can't enter in and steal it, praise God. And when we need to draw off that heavenly bank account, when we've got situations in our loved one's life that God can intervene and we can draw from that heavenly bank account. So we're talking about heaven tonight. And again, if you want to be a part of this, 347-989-8862. And I want to read you some of the prayer requests here at the beginning. Praise God. I tell you, the enemy is on a rampage. He does not like every time when someone, when we try to do something for God, he's always trying to rise up his head and tries to stop what God has for his children, for God's children. But you know what? We're overcomers tonight by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. And praise God. We've got a better day coming. Hallelujah. And what I'm talking about, the devil would like to try to hinder. He likes to try to freeze up computers. You know, you can use technology for the glory of God. And some people use it the wrong way. And I choose to use it the right way. I choose to use the internet, the telephone, things for the for God. And I sure appreciate Blog Talk Radio, appreciate Brother Yearwood when he told us about this, and I'm trying to get this refreshed. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have 770, as soon as I can turn the mic on here. 770, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia. Just so glad to be with you tonight and the opportunity to speak the word of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, Brother John. Thank God you've called in there, and we're going to get 661. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Sister Green, if you're speaking of me, this is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise God, sis. I hope you're feeling better, and you hang in there with us, sis, and we'll get you on here right after Pastor John, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Brother John, go ahead and obey God, brother. Glad to have you.
Appreciate that, Brother Sister Green. Appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ for giving an opportunity. We are talking about heaven tonight, and God began to deal with me when I found out we were going to speak on heaven about the bread from heaven tonight. And every Bible's turned with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, this was after the beginning with verse 25. This was after the feeding of the multitudes, the feeding of the 5,000, and how they began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't because of the miracle, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. It was because that they had been filled. And the Bible says there in verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? In other words, when did you come here? They didn't see any evidence that Christ had come. And some of you need to know tonight, amen, even though we can't see that the evidence that Christ has come into our life, that he has definitely come and is here. Amen. He has come to make himself available to you tonight. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. They began to seek to him because of the carnal, the flesh, amen, was filled. And as they come there, amen, it wasn't the miraculous. It wasn't because of the spiritual things. And the Bible says, Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, God the Father had given him the authority of the Father. And he was that bread that came down from heaven. But as he came into their life, amen, he had instructed them. He said, don't labor, don't work for a meat that perishes, but work, amen. And even as Sister Rachel read her scriptures there, amen, talking about laying up treasures in heaven. This is the bread that come down from heaven. This is what will sustain you, that has come out of the heavens itself and come down from the throne room of God. Amen. And he said, this is what we need to work for, that which has come down and ascended, amen, into the earth to give you life here on the earth. Amen. He said in John chapter 10, he said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundance. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to give you an abundance life. It's not just something to sustain you, but something to give you even more, amen, than you need. Hallelujah. The Bible says he exceedingly able, abundantly above, to give what we ask or think. And tonight, amen, there is that which comes down from heaven. There is that which is offered himself. Then he said in verse 28, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, that we would have the authority of God the Father, that we would have the works of the Lord God. And Jesus answered them and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. In other words, your belief, your faith, amen. If you begin to believe from that bread that come down from heaven, you begin tonight to believe on the provision that has come, amen, from heaven. You know, tonight it's not the bread. It's not the natural things. It's not the things of the earth that we are to work for or labor for. Amen. Because they perish. But there is that which comes down from heaven tonight. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, the provision of heaven. Amen. That does not perish. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to know tonight that God has made provision, you know, just as he did in Genesis chapter 22 when Isaac and Abraham, amen, went to that mountain. Amen. And they had the fire and the wood. Amen. But they didn't have the sacrifice. But Abraham knew by faith that God would come down and provide something there for him because God had promised that he would give him a provision from heaven. Tonight you've been given a promise of provision from heaven. Amen. And when they got there, amen, the Bible says that, amen, that the ram was caught, amen, by the horns and the bush. That ram was representative, a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says that Abraham, amen, he went all the way. He tied Isaac to the altar. He was already had drawn his hand, amen, because the Lord told him that this would be the child of promise, amen, and out of his seed would be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. And Abraham had a made-up mind, amen, that this ram, this provision, amen, that would be on Mount Moriah, amen, would be something unto everlasting life. And amen, he said, now I know, Abraham, that, amen, thy son, thy only son, thy begotten son, amen, the son of the promise, amen, would be let loose, and that ram would take the bush, take his place of provision at the place of the sacrifice. Tonight you need to know, church, amen, those of you that are listening, no matter what you have need, at the very place of your sacrifice, at the very place that you've laid down your life, God will have a ram in the bush. God will have a provision. Amen. And he made an altar, he said, and the altar was called Jehovah Jireh. In other words, it means the Lord who will see to your provision. The Lord will see your provision. He's a God that sits in the throne, but he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere, ever present. And tonight, no matter where you're at, no matter what country you are, no matter what your circumstances or situation, we serve a holy God, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come down, amen, come down off his throne, amen, came down here in the earth to make provision for you, come down and be a ram caught in the bush, and several years later, there on that same area, Mount Moriah, the Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross and became the ram caught in the bush, became the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, amen, and the Bible says, verse 30 said, they said unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? In other words, what is your work that you're doing? Where is the sign? Where is your seal? Where is your miraculous power that you have done? You need to know tonight, amen. He laid down his life. What kind of works have you done? He said this. He said, greater love hath no man than this, John chapter 15, than to lay down his life for a friend. He said, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The Lord said he done that. He was come to give you, amen, a provision. He came down from heaven so that you would not perish. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And the Bible says, our fathers did eat, verse 31, man in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. He spoke of this in Psalm 78 and 24. But we need to know, amen, that as he did give them bread from heaven, then Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Moses didn't give the bread. Man cannot give you, amen, the things that are coming from heaven. Man can only be a vessel, amen, to receive the things, amen, and be used. A vessel of honor, amen. Amen, it's what's in the vessel tonight that makes it precious. And the Bible says, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Tonight you can have the true bread. Amen. He was the true vine in John chapter 15. And John chapter 6, he's the true bread. Amen. This is true showbread tonight. The showbread was reserved for the priest. But to those of you that are believers, amen, you are under the order of Melchizedek, an unchangeable priesthood without beginning without ending. What kind of man was this that even the patriarch Abraham gave tithes to? This was a man, amen. He was the king of Salem, which was Jerusalem. He was the king of peace, amen. He was a type and shadow of Christ after an unchangeable priesthood, amen, as the Lord Jesus Christ was born, amen, in the tribe of Judah. And we all know, according to the scripture, if you know the word of God, that all priests came from the tribe of Levi, amen, after Aaron. But we know, amen, that this one called Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah. But amen, the Lion of Judah made provision, amen, and he was after another order, another priesthood. That was without beginning, that was without end. He said, I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. He is unchangeable tonight. Amen and hallelujah. He said in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I make you kings and priests. When you begin to partake of this true bread down from heaven, this is the showbread, even as David did go in. Amen. And those that hungered for him, with him, he took the showbread and gave it to them to eat, even though it was just given. Amen. To the priest. You need to know tonight that this is the priest's showbread tonight. The word of God is that bread that comes down from heaven, given only to the kings and priests. And tonight you can be a partaker of that. Tonight you can be a part of that communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we begin to break bread tonight, this bread I'm talking about, this word I'm giving you tonight, you need to know it came, it source was from heaven. He said that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Where? In the heavens. And the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word came down from heaven. That's the manna, amen, that has come down and dwelt among us, lived among us. And this is the bread, amen. This is not day-old bread I'm not talking about. You can't get this at the day-old bread store. I'm talking about fresh manna that is falling nightly, hourly, daily. I'm talking about a bread that the breadworms can't come against. I'm talking about a bread that's not moldy. Amen. I'm talking about a bread that has, amen, it's never out of date. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, hallelujah, he said in verse 33, for the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and give up life unto the world. The world, the cosmos, this is the world. This bread, this one loaf, this bread of life, not only will feed the 5,000 and the 4,000 in the natural realm, he fed them, but the miracle tonight is, I've got a bread tonight. I've got a bread that came down from heaven. I'm going to give it to you. I don't know how many thousands of people are listening tonight, but to every one of you that will listen, every one of you that will eat, every one of you will drink, it will give you life. And not only will it give you life for this moment, for this instant, for the future, but it will give you eternal life. This bread that is given to you tonight has been blessed and broken and given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Multitudes and multitudes are being fed. Thousands upon thousands are being fed by this bread. And not only is it giving you life, it's sustaining you and bringing you to an everlasting life. And the Bible said, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I've already been given to you. He sought for me. How many of you tonight, amen, hallelujah, just like these, they sought for him, but not because of the miracles, not because of what had happened. They sought for him because their bellies were filled. Tonight, church, if you're coming, amen, to have your belly filled, you have to be careful about, amen, because your belly can become your God. The Lord, Apostle Paul said, I am even weeping, talking about the enemies of the cross of Christ, who serve their own belly. Tonight, if you're serving your own belly, I'm talking about serving your own flesh. But tonight, if you're seeking this Jesus, if you're seeking for this bread of life, if you're seeking as they were, they sought for him. But now something had been given to them. Now they wanted this bread, amen. They had been sustained in the wilderness, but now they were talking about a bread that would give them eternal life. Amen. And they wanted this bread. Tonight, do you want this church, this bread, church? The Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, in Matthew chapter 5, amen, shall be filled. How many of you tonight are hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There's one thing the Bible says, if you come to him, you'll never hunger. If you come to that bread, Yeah, as you begin to break bread, it's a bread that forevermore lasts forever. Each bite, each morsel that you take will give you life, and not only give you life, it will give you eternal life. This bread only comes from heaven. You cannot get this in the bakery. You cannot get this in the deli. It only comes from heaven. It's that bread that comes down from heaven. And he said, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Bible says, amen, hallelujah. He asked the woman there in John chapter 4, if you had asked me, I would give you a drink that you never thirst again. And after the amen, as they come together, she began to realize that truly as she come to Jacob's well, she had to come to that well daily, amen, and truly still, by the spiritual realm, church, you must come to the well of God daily. You must come to the bread of life daily. Hallelujah, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. It's not only the natural realm and food, but it's a daily bread. It's a bread of life, amen. We must have, the Bible says, search the scriptures daily. For in them you think you have life, amen. Man doesn't live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word, amen, is the bread of life, and it will give you life. If you believe in this word tonight, you'll never thirst for anything else. But I said unto you that he also has seen me and believe not. They had seen him, they still didn't believe it. Just like Thomas, he had seen him. He said, except I see the nail prints in his hand, I thrust my hand in his side, I'll not believe. Church, tonight we serve a God that, amen, hallelujah, that you're blessed tonight if you just believe in him. If you're blessed, he said, blessed are those, in John chapter 20:21, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. I believe tonight in that bread that came down from heaven. I believe because I've received it. I eat of it every day. Hallelujah, and it's always fresh, and it's always the best. Because the Bible says in James chapter 1, I believe it's somewhere around verse 17, that every good and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, which is no variable, is a shadow of turning. God gives you the good gift and the perfect gift. Hallelujah. And we need to gather according to our eating. And the Bible says, all that the Father, verse 37, gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Tonight, if you'll come to the bread of life, who's come from heaven, you will not be cast out. Satan, amen, come against him and set up his throne. When it is set up his throne by the stars of the north, Isaiah chapter 14, Revelation chapter 12. But we find, amen, tonight, amen, if you'll come unto Jesus, he will no wise cast you out. Hallelujah tonight, amen. How many people have you come to? They want to cast you out. They want to turn you aside. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, be content with whatsoever state you're in. I believe that's Hebrews 13:5. And the Bible says, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He says in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was God's will for his son to come and to give you life. Not only life, but everlasting life. To give you that bread. He said, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. This is bread that will raise you up on the last day. This is bread, amen, that here's a spiritual resurrection. Here's a bread, when this bread is laying there, been dormant, God will raise up that spirit. God will raise up as he rose up, amen, as God the Father on the third day rose, amen. He's going to quicken your mortal body. This is bread, amen, that will bring spirit to you. This is bread that will give you life. This is bread that will breathe, amen, into your nostrils and raise you up from the places of death and bring you out of sin. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We have the power of the resurrection. Mary and Martha said in John chapter 11, when Lazarus had died, amen, and were laying in the tomb and been sealed by the stone, and amen, hallelujah. And when Jesus said, do you believe I can raise up your brother? And they said, we know in the last day. Jesus declared unto her in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection. In other words, he's present day resurrection. He is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. He said, you do err. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the God of the living tonight. Amen. in him. If anyone that's in him tonight is not dead, they're alive and well. You need to know tonight, amen. Then verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is this not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he said, I come down from heaven? No, they didn't know his father. He said, my father which is in heaven, your father. Amen. And tonight we can have the spirit of adoption in Romans chapter 8, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, which means he's our father, my father. We can take it personally. But the only way we can do it is because we believe on the Son. The word said the Father is for us to believe on the Son who he sent. To believe in the bread, to come to the bread, to come and believe on him and see in him that we'll never thirst again. And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. He said, he come in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You can't come to Jesus without the Spirit of the Lord, the God the Father, which is the Spirit, drawing you. You can only come to Jesus by the Spirit. That which gives life brings you to the Word. That which brings life. God is bringing you back to his bread. God is bringing you back to his table. He said, all things are now ready. He said, the meat is ready. He said, my marriage is ready. Go and invite all those. And you know what? Tonight, you have an opportunity to come to the wedding. Your wedding. Not someone else's wedding. You're not invited, amen, as a guest to bring a gift. You are the gift. You are the bride. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. You've been received an invitation. Tonight, don't turn him away. Don't go out and worry about proving your oxen or going to see about the land. Will you come to Jesus? Will you come to the bread of life? These things, amen, that come down from heaven. Your groom, amen, the groom, amen, is coming. We need to be like the five wise virgins. We need to have our lamps and our oils burning, amen, amen, ever ready. How do you get the oil? Every time you receive the word of God, you're receiving the oil, amen. All of us have the lamps. All 10 virgins had the lamps, but they all didn't have the oil. How do you get the oil? How do you get filled up? Well, it's just going back, amen. You have to go back to Jesus and get that oil filled up, amen. Amen. And you know what? Some people want to get by. They want to get by and say, well, look, give me of your oil. Give me of what you got. You go to church. I want to know what God said in the church today. I want to know what God said in the revival today. I want to know what God said on the broadcast. That you come, you just give me the oil. I don't want to go. I don't have time to go. I don't have time to hear the word of God. I don't have time to even eat the bread of life. Tell me, just give me some more. Give me some leftovers, amen. Whatever you got, just give it to me. But we have to come and get gathered for ourselves. We have to come and sit down at the Father's table ourselves. All one is invited. Amen. Amen. There's a time. This is the time of invitation, church. Don't turn them away. Don't make excuses. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, we are without excuse tonight. Don't come in, and the Bible says there's going to be time. And when the Father's house wasn't filled, as the Father drew them, amen, then he told his other servants to go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Go out, amen, to the Gentile nations. He go out any farther. And that's what we're seeing. This invitation is going out tonight to come and eat of the bread of life. It's supper time tonight, church. It's supper time, and it's come from heaven, and God has prepared the table. Amen. All things are now ready. Will you come and eat at the Father's house tonight? Will you come and eat at the Father's house? Will you come and eat at the Father's throne? Amen. Will you come and sit on his right hand at the Lord's table? Tonight you need to know one thing. Too many of you on the sound of my voice are trying to eat and drink out of the cup of the devil's and the Lord's table. You can't sit at both tables tonight, church. You must choose. No man can serve two masters, for he'll love the one and hate the other. He'll hold fast to the one and despise the other. Tonight, you have to make a choice which table you're going to sit at, who you're going to sit with. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, and as the Bible says, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You have to hear the Father. You have to learn of the Father. How do you learn of the Father? The Bible says in Matthew 11:28. Take my, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The only way we can be learned is be yoked to him tonight. Have you been yoked? Have you broke bread? is that bread of life that's come from heaven? Is this word that's coming from heaven? Is this which giving you life? Is that which fills your thirst? Amen. That quenches your thirst. Is it abiding on the inside of you? He said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me. In other words, the word abide there means in the original Greek to live. Is the word of God living in you? And are you living in the word of God tonight? That's the only way you can live tonight. And the Bible says, brother, that I say to you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, verse 49, and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When he hung on the cross, his flesh, the Bible says in the prophet Isaiah, that his visage was so marred that they were stunning. In other words, he was beaten so bad, he was beaten actually beyond recognition. You wouldn't even recognize him, even if you didn't know him. You know, they thought that they knew him as, this was the son of Joseph and Mary. No, this was the son of Jehovah God, Yahweh. This was the bread that came down from heaven. This bread that you've seen, this Jesus, amen, he made him both Lord and Christ. Jews therefore struggled among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? He gave it on the cross. He was crucified. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man. How do you eat that? You break bread. You take in the word. The word is broken for you. His body was broken for you. He said, take and eat. And as often you do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat the word of God, every time I'm talking about receiving it in, putting the word in your mouth, that it goes down into the heart. Amen. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is heavenly bread. Amen. This is manna that will give you life. He says, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up for the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He said, take, he gave him the cup, and he said, take, this is my blood of the New Testament. In other words, the blood that was shed, it's the life blood. The Bible says there's life in the blood. Hallelujah. And every time you drink, that which is of the blood, the vine, the true vine, his blood, it covers our life tonight. He says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. We'll get ready to give it back to Brother and Sister Green, but right now you just need to know this is the living bread tonight. You have an opportunity right now. The Father, the Spirit is drawing you to this living bread tonight. Your fathers before you, there are many of your fathers, and I'm talking about your forefathers, went before you. They ate manna and are dead. But tonight you have an opportunity while you're still alive, while it's day, to eat the bread of life and receive him as your Lord and Savior tonight and receive him and right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Brother Sister Green.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Pastor John. Appreciate you and that good word there. And Brother John's telling you the truth, folks. I say that every week. And you know, we get our scriptures right from the Bible. And he said to taste of him and see that he is true. If your life is messed up and you don't know which way to turn, you know, someone asked me the other day, said, do I need to get things cleaned up first or do get my situations cleaned up or can I get saved? And I said, you come get saved. And I said, and let God clean up your mess. And that's what we need to do tonight. If you're in a situation and you don't know which way to go and which way to, I tell you, if you make a choice and you can hear me asking you this question and you choose not to serve God, then you've already chose to serve the devil. The Bible says you can't love two masters. You either love one and hate the other. So if you choose not God, you automatically chose the other one without even realizing it or without even wanting to. So, you know, choose the Lord and make heaven your home someday. And that's our subject tonight is heaven. And if you want to call in at 347-989-8862, we'd love to hear you, hear your testimony. We'd love to hear your prayer requests and pray over them. Speaking of prayer requests, I'm going to announce some of them right now. Sister Rhonda Rudd says, remember her. Maria Sinner said, pray for her son Joe. He has to have back surgery, don't know when, but he and his family are lost and they need Jesus. Praise God. How many know that's the most important prayer request we can ever turn in for our loved ones and friends and family is that they get saved. Also, Teresa Amberge, she says she has been through a lot so much lately. She said she loves the Lord and tries so hard to live right before him, but she is having bad anger problems, short fused, too much stress. Please pray for her. So you have me know that stress and oppression and all that is of the devil, but we are on the winning side when we're serving God. So Sister Teresa, if you can hear me, you're on the winning side if you're serving the Lord, and I believe you are. And you said you love him, and I know you do, and seen you on here several times, and we just let you know that we're praying with you. We're standing together with you. It's Curtis Oney. He has a prayer request for his mother. She's under a lot of stress tonight about moving again. They got locked out of their house. Today she has... she got locked out of the house today, and she has to be in the morning at 10 a.m. to get her things. But her son that's asking for requests has to work, and her husband has to work as well. So they need help their way of moving their belongings, and Lord can help them. I know she serves the Lord with all her heart. We go to church with her and her son, and just remember them, their Brother Curtis Oney's mother. Bonnie Burke says, pray for her boss, has throat cancer. Pray for her husband that he has good test results on the report, and the family that are lost. Danielle McDaniel says, please pray for her daddy. He drinks a lot and suffers from depression from losing her mother. So pray. These folks that need Jesus, we really need to take and put them on our heart and pray for them. Sister Gladys is on here with us tonight. She has a prayer request, and in a moment here we'll let her turn that in. And we're looking forward to hearing her as well tonight. And we thank you all for calling in and helping us. Mike Bragg, he's a cousin of mine. He says, you know mine, cuz, love you. He has a very special unspoken request concerning his family, and he is planning on getting closer to the Lord. So we thank God for that, and that's, like I said, when we're in a mess, we come to the Lord and he'll work it out. Laura McKnight, pray for me having teeth pulled Monday. I've been sick almost 2 months. Pray infection is gone and I won't have to miss but one day of work from it. Yes, we're lifting her up in prayer as well, and God can move in that. And Gary Elam says, pray for his daughter Cindy. God knows all about that. I believe she's in the hospital as we speak. So if we'll go to prayer for those here in just a bit. Remember Randy Richardson also, and also Brother Hicks in South Carolina, the brother, the Yearwoods, they're not with us tonight. They are saying goodbye to Sister Hicks. She has passed away. And lift up Brother Hicks in prayer. And also remember the Yearwoods. God give them mercy traveling. I believe they're already there. Tonight was the viewing. I believe tomorrow morning is the actual funeral. Tonight might have been the funeral. I'm not really sure on that. Just remember them and Brother Timothy Dockery. So at this time we're going to have... Sister Gladys, I know you haven't felt well, and I don't want to keep holding you, but sis, you go ahead and obey God and turn in your prayer request.
You go ahead, Sissy. I just wanted to turn in a prayer request that was posted today that Sister Tina Moses' grandmother is going to have back surgery on Monday. Her name is Hattie Moses. and I have a special need for our family. And God has promised us that he'd raise up a standard, and no weapon is formed against any of us. And I thank God for that. So you go ahead with the prayer request, Sister Joanna. And I'd like for everybody to know that's listening on this broadcast that if they have a need and they desire prayer for their salvation, just call in, and any of us will stop what we're doing, because our main concern is about the lost souls tonight. If they just call, any of us would sit and pray with them until they met God and they've reached the throne room. And I just praise God for this broadcast, that you're reaching so many, that if we just reach one, Sister Green, I believe it's worth it all. And I thank God that we are overcomers, and I know God can lift us up when we're discouraged, and he'll meet every need that we have. So go ahead with the prayer request, Sister Green.
Praise God. If you want to call in, like Sister Gladys is telling you, we would love to hear your testimony, your prayer request, or even if you would like to say something. We're speaking on heaven tonight. You can call in at 347-989-8862, and we would love to just, we would be glad to pray with you. I don't care if you're in the United States. I don't care what country. If you're able to call, if you want to email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@aol.com. If you're in a third world country and you can't call by telephone, we sure understand. But if you can, please call 347-989-8862. Praise God. And right now we're going to get this song going, and I hope it blesses your heart. God, I hope that blessed you. That blesses me. We've got sweet heaven in our view. Hallelujah. And one of these days we're going to make heaven our home, and it's going to be worth it after all. And Sister Gladys, if you've got your scriptures and you'd like to go ahead, sis, you go right ahead.
Okay, I praise God for the ability to come on here. You know, sometimes the enemy will hinder Sister Joanne, but he can't stop. I thank God that I'm among the living today. And I thank God that we are overcomers with our testimony. And I praise God that we can feast on his word, and that's what gives us strength every day. And even though the enemy may strike me and try to hinder my path, I know who and the one that I live for. And I know the one that gives me the strength and gives me bread of life and puts bread in my, and breath in my lungs. Devil, get out of here. I praise God today for all he's done for me. I am a walking, talking miracle, Sister Green, and I praise him for that. I praise God for the ability to speak. I'm not in a hospital right now. I'm not laying on a breathing machine. I don't have some kind of feeding tube tonight, and I give him glory and honor before I even begin my scriptures. I have much to be thankful for. He's an awesome God, and I walk with him, and I praise him.
Excuse me.
I want to start in Psalm 8, 3 through 9. Like the brother said, we sat back sometimes and we thought about heaven. And I thank God for the home that he's blessed me with, Sister Green. When I go out on my porch, I can just look all around me. There's no trees in our yard. And you can just see this big, great galaxy that God has created. And I thank him for that. And one day I'm going to lay on my backside and I'm going to put out a blanket and just worship him. We're not supposed to worship the moon and the stars, but we're supposed to worship the Creator. And I'm going to start off with Psalms 8, 3 through 9. He said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moons and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." You know, we consider the heavens and we glorify our God and know that even though we have a sinful nature because of man falling, but I thank him for sending our Savior to the earth. He became in the shape of a man, and he agreed with the Father that he'd come here and be our Savior, the one that could can take sin out of our life. He came and he wanted us to look to him to make the sacrifice, and he did just that. He went to the cross for our healing, and he went to the cross for our salvation, and I thank him for that. He showed us favor with the Father, and I thank him for that. And I know we have human nature, and there are times we get up, and sometimes we fight anger, and sometimes we fight unbelief and doubt, and we go through grieving times. But God said he'd bring us all out of that. If we bind our mind to his mind, Sister Green, we won't have doubt and unbelief. We can glorify our Father and know that we can walk in the way that Jesus would have us to walk. And I praise him for that. If we live in the excellent name of the Lord, we can honor him and we can get in his presence. I know that the Lord has taught me with all the things I've gone through physically that our weapon of warfare in the physical realm is praise. If I can just get along with the Lord and get along with the Lord, he said to put a praise upon our lips when going to the house of God. Many times we're pew warmers, but I don't want to be that anymore. I want to lift up my hand and I want to lift up my praise. You know, sometimes we walk into the house of God, we got to set our things at the door. Some people don't agree with me, but our bills and our troubles, we have to leave them at home and leave them behind us. God will take care of all those things. If we just magnify our Savior and our Father God and let him know, we praise you, Lord. And even though we go through storms, I know that you will send your heavenly manna to us and you will reach out and touch our need. You will meet us right where we are at. If we give you the praise and honor, even though we're going through the storm and we don't even know how we're going to make it through, he promised us that he would move in a mighty way for us. And I give him glory for that. He said in Psalm 139:8, he said, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Behold, thou art there. He's promised us that wherever we go, he'd be there also. If we feel like we're destitute and in a desperate situation, there may be people in that third world country out there that don't even know how they're going to feed their children. You look to God, and he'll answer your prayer. Many times we'll look in our cupboards and think, Lord, how are we going to make a way when there seems to be no way? But in his word of God, he's promised us that even though it doesn't seem like I'm going to make you, that you have a way, I'll make a way. Many times we fret about things we shouldn't fret about. God said his promises lie in him. Sometimes we have to stand on his promises. I don't worship the promises. I worship the one who made the promise for me. And I give him glory for that. I want to, the last part of some of my scriptures tonight, I thank God he did touch my body, Sister Green. Sometimes we give up too easy, but I always want to be faithful in the work of the Lord. And he said in Isaiah, 55, I'm going to start off with 9. He said, for as thy heavens, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I'm going to read that scripture again. On 13, he said, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord has promised us through Jesus Christ that we'll never be cut off. If we walk with him and we have him in our heart and we ask for his salvation and we believe in him that he has died and rose again and that he's sitting on the right hand of the throne with God, that he'll return back to us in a day that we know not of, and that he will come back and get our bride. He's looking for a clean bride. And when he comes out of heaven, the angels don't even know that day or that hour. Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour. But when God says enough, and I think it's going to be coming soon because he's about ready to come forth, there's going to be calamity and judgment on this nation. And no, people don't want to hear that. But if we rest in the Lord Jesus and know that our peace rests in him. He said if our minds are stayed upon him, we will have perfect peace. People say, how can you say that? I know because I've walked in it. I know when sometimes we wonder about this and we wonder about that and we think, Lord, how can this be? Our thoughts are not like his thoughts. He said that he'd bring us out of every trial and every tribulation that we go through. He's promised those things, and I praise him tonight. I have much to be thankful for, Sister Green. If we walk uprightly with him, he said that we would go out with joy and be led forth with peace. He said the mountains of the hills shall break forth before us with singing. You know, I've often thought, you know, when you have a close encounter with death, and I've been there several times, God lets you appreciate the little things, the flowers, the trees, the grass, and the little things mean so much to me. Some people can call me crazy. They can do it. I'm crazy about my Savior, and I thank him. You know, we moved in this house, and there's a little mountain. No, not like in West Virginia, but I thank him for that mountain. Come in the fall, they just are blossoming and everything else. I'm bragging on my Savior tonight. I'm bragging on my God for the things that he's created from heaven. I thank him that even though there was nothing when he came here, when the Savior and God came here and they ordained the earth and they spoke it out into existence about the stars, if you ask an astronomer today, stars are still being created. When he spoke it into existence, it's being created as we speak, and I thank him for those things. He is a mighty God, and there's so many things in the scriptures that I could just go on and on, but he's a good Savior. And I know in my heart that there's someone that's out there listening tonight if we just reach one, Sister Green. That's my heart's desire. You know, I told God, I said, give me a heart for the lost. And we have a prayer box we created at the beginning. You know, a man made it at the beginning of the year. You know, there's many that are dying and going to hell because they're addicted. There's many out there that don't have salvation. There's many tonight that don't have healing in their body. And I praise Him for the healing He's given me. But I want to reach out to those that are sad and discouraged tonight to let Him know that we have a Savior that's sitting next to God right now. And He's sitting on the throne room. Our Father has never died. He's never gone away. And He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And He's promised us if we need healing in our heart and if we need healing in our souls and upon our bodies, He said He would touch us and He'd lift us up. And I give Him glory for that. But I wanted to speak to the ones out there in the third world countries right now. They have to hide in the bushes, that they're not even allowed to hide the Bible. We need to be thanking our Savior that we're able to take our Bibles and we can have numerous ones in our homes, because one day I believe they'll be taken away. But I believe right now we need to thank our God and thank Him that we can walk into the church houses. There's more churches than there need to be. We need to come together in unity like the Savior wanted us to come into unity. But I want to reach out to those that feel undone tonight and feel lost. You don't have to feel lost. I believe in my heart, if you just pray a small prayer or call into the number that Sister Green has given you, we'll pray with you. I just want to reach out to those that feel that they're desperate and they don't know what to do, Sister Green. I thank God for this broadcast that reaches out to so many. I praise Him for it. And if I can just be a little part, I didn't even push a button tonight, Sister Green. And I know it's God's will for me to speak. Not that I'm anybody, but His word means something. Maybe it would reach out to Him and let Him know we need to praise our God for the hills and the mountains. We need to thank Him for the animals He's created. He's given us a vast world to be praising and thanking Him for. That's a lot of what I had tonight. I just enjoy listening to the brothers and sisters that speak on this broadcast, Sister Green. And I thank Him, and I'm honored and humbled to be a part of it. I pray that God will continuously bless you and Brother Green tonight. And I'll keep lifting up Brother Yearwood and Sister Betty. I'm going to turn it back to you, Sister Green.
Praise God. Well said, Sister Gladys. And she's talking to you tonight. We want you to call in at 347-989-8862. And Sister Gladys, hang in there. I'm feeling anointing from you, sis. And if you feel led to pray, that'd be awesome. We sometimes will do that right at that when the Spirit's moving like this, when you feel impressed.
Whatever your will is, whatever you think, Sister Green.
Go
I praise
ahead,
God.
We want you to lead it, though, because we're feeling anointing from you, sis.
Oh, Father God, I praise you tonight. And as you've heard the many requests, Lord, I know there's unspoken ones and the ones that have been spoken for. I pray, Father God, that you'd walk within their homes. And I pray, Father God, that you'd reach down in a mighty way, Lord. Reach down and let them know they can look to you for the answers of their prayers. Those that are hurting tonight, Father God, touch their bodies from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Father God. Let your healing virtue flow throughout their veins and throughout their muscles and through their bodies, Father God. Let them be healed tonight, Father God. We come together in agreement right now, Father God, that they can reach the throne room. Father God, for those that are getting ready to go into surgery, I pray, Father God, that you would sanctify the hands of the nurses and the medications and the doctors that will be touching these patients. Father God, they're your children. And if they're not your children, they're our grandbabies and they're our children. And I pray, Father God, that you'd reach down from the throne room tonight, Father God. Touch them, Father God, tonight. Father God, prepare their hearts to receive whatever you have. Father God, they may be a blessing to a nurse or a doctor. Let them know that you're the creator of all things and you're the healer, Father God. That's what you've reached out and helped me to do many times. And I pray, Father God, that those that are discouraged, that have been locked out of their houses, Father God, make a way. There seems to be no way, Father God. When there doesn't seem to be any help, you help them have the help they need, Father God. Bless our brothers and sisters that are listening tonight in the third world countries. Those that are close by, Father God, reach out in a mighty way, Father God. Lift them up and touch them, Father God. And for those, Father God, Father God, let them know, Father God, you're the Savior, you're the answer, Father God. You sent your only begotten Son, Lord. Just lift them out of the mire and the clay, Father God. You said, Father God, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Lord, shall have everlasting life. Father God, let them know that you will bring everlasting life into their souls because Jesus died on a painful death, Lord. Every drop of blood, Lord, was meant for our healing. And I glorify you for that, God. Touch Hattie Moses, Father God. Brother Yearwood and Sister Betty, Father God, lift those up. Sister Maria Center, Lord. All the names, Lord. There's too many for me to remember, Lord, but you know. You heard every name, Father God, that was spoken, Lord. All of our unspoken requests, Lord. You said you'd raise up a standard, Lord. You said no weapon formed against us will prosper, Father God. We're standing on your word, Father God, in agreement, Father God. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be in the midst. And Lord, we may be in separate places, Lord, but in your spirit, we're together in unity this night. We give all the requests to you tonight, God. We praise you and thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If you'd like to call in, if that was you, if you've prayed tonight, we'd love to hear your testimony. We'd love to hear that God saved you. You know, it completes your salvation if you confess with your mouth. 347-989-8862 to give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody's listening tonight. I know it, Brother John. I just feel it down in my soul.
Yes.
There's a lot of people hurting out there that is drug addicted, that is on alcohol, and they have that old demon on their back and down in them that need deliverance. And I believe that somebody needs delivered tonight, and there's a lot of people needing delivered. But if we're talking to you, please call us. We want to pray with you, 347-989-8862. We love you. And most of all, God's not mad at you. He wants to save you. Praise God. The devil will lie to you and say that God is so far away. We're talking about heaven, that we can have heaven right here on earth. Praise the Lord. We can't have the fullness because our mortal bodies wouldn't contain it. But, you know, God will give us peace that Sister Gladys was talking about. And Brother John's talking to you about a heaven tonight. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we're going to get this here little song going, and I hope it blesses you.
all shouted.
Praise God. Thank the Lord for that song. And, you know, I was looking for songs on heaven, and that one came up, and I thought, well, I love that song. And, you know, in heaven, we're going to do just that. We're going to shout on the sea of glass. And, you know, I was thinking about how John the Revelator, how he saw in chapter 4 of Revelations, how he saw that crystal sea, praise the Lord, the sea of glass. And I want to talk to you a little bit for a few minutes here on Revelations 4 in the throne room of God. After this, I looked. This is John talking. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as a trump of a sound talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and all one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and as a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne and the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And you know, the Bible doesn't say right now who the 24 elders are, but I believe John, the Revelator, saw himself sitting there as one of the 24 elders. That's just my opinion. And the sixth verse says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And there's a sea of glass that we were talking about, the crystal sea. And, you know, I'm thinking how they're going to be shouting on that sea. And down here we call it the highway of holiness, and it goes before the throne of God. And how down here we call it the highway of the of holiness, meaning not a highway like a literal road, like you're going down the road. And I've said this before on the broadcast in our Friday night's broadcast, that it's a highway of living. It's a high standard is what it is. Yeah. It's a highway above sin, praise God. And when we get on that crystal sea, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more, there'll be all, praise God, shouting like David did down here with, like the song said, little David, play on your harp, hallelujah. We're going to be singing a new song, Sister Gladys, praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And it says, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. How many know that all those right there represents Christ? Praise the Lord. And the four beasts, which had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise the Lord. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, praise the Lord. And if you look over at Isaiah, it talks about in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, and in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Praise God. And Revelation 21, I'm feeling God because I can picture that city, Sister Gladys. One of these days, we're going to be part of that city. And Revelation 21 and 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and we will dwell with them, and they shall be, and he shall,
and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and falsers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is in the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the vials full of seven last plagues, talked with me, and you can read it there, and it talks more about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can read it for yourself, Revelations 21. I tell you, Revelations, period, bless your soul, and if you're a Christian tonight, and why should it bless your soul? Because you're an overcomer tonight, and this is your inheritance, praise God, what's coming to you. If your name's written therein, praise God, you'll be there. And hallelujah, we'll go in and out of that city, and there'll be no light in that city, for there wouldn't be no need for the sun, for Jesus Christ is that light. Praise God, and I just love the Lord, and you can be part of that. This down here, right here, life is but a vapor, but this is our dressing room to get ready for eternity, ever and ever and ever. Praise God, never, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. I tell you, if you go over there and you make it, praise God, and you've got a loved one that you love dearly, and if they don't make it, you're not going to know about it because there's not going to be no tears up yonder. But I tell you, we better get ready here while we can, while we have a chance. If you get ready, how many knows you could bring in more? Your family can come in just if you obey God and you come in and get in yourself. Your children can follow right in after you and get themselves saved. Or it might be your parents. They might come in and they might get saved. And you all may never have known Jesus as your Savior. And you may never have grown up in church. You may never heard this before. But if it just starts with you, praise God, and you dig into this Word of God, King James Bible, and you dig into the good things and the promises or yea and amen of God, and help praise the Lord, his benefits, praise the Lord, all to the Christian who has received what he died upon the cross. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, and I tell you, my heart goes out, and I beg you to taste of this Lord that I'm talking about, Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, and it will take you to fire and brimstone, which we were talking about here in Revelation 21. But if you choose life, he'll give it to you more abundantly. Here on earth, you'll have heaven on earth. You'll go through things. It might be a little rough at times, but the thing is you've got somebody that will help you through it. And who can you go through it more better than Jesus Christ? There's nobody, no other name given on heaven and on earth than Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Accept him tonight as your Savior. And I'm going to turn this over to Brother Green. He's getting himself ready. I thank the Lord for him. Thank God for a Christian home. It is a peaceful home. Praise God. Here he is. Hallelujah. All the way from Springboro, Ohio.
All right. Praise God. It's good to be with you. I thank God for those that's already been on tonight that have already preached and said good things and talked about heaven and talked about how to get there. And I tell you, there is a way to get there to heaven, and we know that the Bible tells us the way, and if we get into the Word of God, we'll find out what is the way to heaven, and that's what we're trying to tell you tonight. We're trying to, first of all, we want you to know there is a heaven, and the Bible says that there is a hell, and the thing about it is we don't want to go to that place called hell. And you know, in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about that place called hell. And we want to make sure that we don't find ourselves there standing before God and being naked before God. In other words, not having on the wedding garment and not being ready to enter into heaven, because it'll be a horrible day to stand there and think that you had a chance to make heaven your home, but you turned it down and you just decided you just do your own thing and go your own way and forget about what the Bible says and forget about Christ that had died for you on the cross. And in Revelation 20, now I want to start at the 11th verse, Revelation 20 and 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we know that there's going to be at the end of the age, end of the time, when everything's finished and God's done bringing people in, when they've all have had their call and they've had an opportunity to come in, then God's going to separate the chaff from the wheat, and he's going to separate the good from the bad, and he's going to keep the good, but he's going to cast away the bad. And he's not only going to cast it away, but the people that do not make heaven are going to be cast into a lake of fire. And I don't want to be there on that day. I don't want to be one of those that is cast in, but I want to make heaven my home. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 9, I want to begin reading. I want to read here 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I want to say tonight that, first of all, when we get born again of the Spirit of God, we begin to seek the things of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he wanted to know what could he do to have eternal life. And Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, said, you must be born again. And the wind bloweth. You can see, Jesus told him, the wind blows. And you can see the evidence of that wind. You can see it moving the trees. And sometimes it gets so strong, the wind could even pick up a house and move it, or pick up a train or anything like that. It could pick up almost anything, depending on how strong that wind is. But when we get born again of the Spirit of God, then we have a spirit that we didn't have before, and that is the Spirit of Christ in us, and we begin to seek the things of God. And it says here, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, tonight we get a little glimpse of what heaven is all about. We get a little picture about heaven. We read the scriptures and we read about how the streets are pure gold. And Joanna read a little bit of that a little while ago about that city going to be four square, and the length and the height and the breadth of it are all equal, and there's not going to be anything going in that city that is defiled, or, you know, that makes a lie, or any abomination, anything like that. But those that have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb is the only ones that's going to enter in. It'll only be saints, the saints of God, them that have been born of the Spirit of God. And the natural man, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, it says verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So we begin to look into this book, the Word of God, and we begin to see what God has for us and what he has prepared. I think about John chapter 14, and Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he told the church, basically, not just the 12 disciples, but he also, this is to the church, that Jesus said, "I will go away and prepare a place, and I will come again." And we've been waiting on Jesus for a long time now. We've been waiting on him to come again, and one day he will come.
Yes.
The Bible said he'll come, and he will not tarry. But when that time comes, he'll be right on time. And he's coming back to take the church home. He's coming back to catch the church away. And then the church, as far as I can tell by the scripture, is going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they're going to feast with the Lord. And they're going to come back here and reign for 1,000 years. And you see, if you didn't have the Bible, know about these things, but we know about these things because he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they're life." And we begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual. But it says that in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Praise God. I was thinking one time I witnessed to a man about the Lord. He was an elderly man, and I was renting off of this man at the time. I had just gotten saved and didn't know too much about the Lord, or very much about the Bible, and not much about how to witness, but I tried to witness to this man, and he was out there doing something around the barn. He was a farmer, and I told him, you know, about this lady getting healed in our church, and how that the Lord healed her mouth and filled her teeth with silver. And he laughed, and he said, "You don't believe that, do you?" And I said, "Yeah, I believe it. Because I saw it. I saw her mouth. She showed me. And I knew her. She lived with her grandma, and her grandma didn't have no money. And they couldn't. They didn't have the money to fix this young lady's teeth. She was a teenager, and the Lord filled her mouth with silver." And she testified and got up and testified about it and told us about it. And I told this man, he laughed, and he said, "You don't believe that." I said, "Yes, I believe it." And he said, "I guess you believe that a fish swallowed Jonah, too." I said, "Yeah, I believe that also." And you see, the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Amen.
It's not subject to the laws of God, the Bible says. And we've got to have a new mind and a new heart. We've got to have a heart to believe God. We've got to have a the mind that God gives us, and he wants us to have the mind of Christ, and he wants us to be a new creature. Once we've been born again, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you know, there was times I'd read about Noah and the ark and different things, and I questioned in my mind, is it really so? But I tell you, once you get born of the Spirit of God, you know that it's real. Mm-hmm. And you know that God can do anything, that with him, all things are possible. And we don't have to go around in a doubtful mind. We don't have to go around being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But we can believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can believe the Word of God. It says here, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Since I've been saved, I've been digging in this Bible to find out what is my reward. What am I going to get when this is all winding up, and find out all about what God has to say about things. And I found out that there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. And we want to make it to that beautiful place called heaven. And what's it going to be like when we get there? We found out in the scriptures that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven and new earth is only going to be for the righteous. There's not going to be sin no more in those places. There's going to be that new city coming down from God out of heaven. And it's going to be placed here upon the earth one of these days. And we're going to reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us. And many things that the Bible tells us. You know, it tells us how God created the heavens and the earth. And I want to turn over there just for a little bit. In Genesis chapter 1, it says here, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Praise God. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And you go on down here in verse 8, it says, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So God placed the firmament, and he called it heaven. And it divided the waters from the waters. And let me back up here to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. I'm wanting you to see here that there's more than one heaven. And this heaven that we look up into is a place where the birds fly, and we see the stars and the moon, and we see these things that our sister earlier was talking about. And God placed those lights in the firmament of heaven. And he placed those the sun and the moon to give light upon the earth, and the stars and all these things. And praise God. And I was thinking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I was thinking about that also, that the Apostle Paul, one time he made the statement that he was caught up unto the third heaven. So we see there was more than one heaven. In chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. So the Apostle Paul said there that this man was caught up to the third heaven. And, you know, this man that he's talking about is himself. I think just about everybody agrees on that. You know, he wasn't boastful or whatever. John wasn't boastful. The apostles and them, they didn't go around with their, you know, with their chest sticking out, you know, all puffed up and saying, look at me, who I am, you know. I'm an apostle, you know, and I've got this great power and all this stuff, because they had the mind of Christ, and Christ made himself of no reputation. And he humbled himself even unto death, and he humbled himself and became a servant. And that's what they were. They were servants. They knew that God was the one doing the work, and they knew that without him they could do nothing. And, you know, we read that over there. I think Brother John talked about it tonight. Over there where Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. You know, and if you abide in me, in other words, you're going to live. But if you abide not in me, you're going to be broken off and you're going to be cast into the fire. So we must abide in that true vine. And that true vine is Christ. And he made himself of no reputation. He didn't go around all puffed up and saying, look at me, how great I am. But he just told the truth, and I believe that's what Paul and John and all them, they tried to stay as humble as they possibly could. When you read the writings of John, you find out that John didn't say, I seen this, and I done this, and I done that. But he talks about, he's like Paul, in other words. He knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, he cannot tell. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And Paul was saying, I was caught up to the third heaven. Praise the Lord. And verse 4 says, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Praise God. For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And not only was he a great man, the Apostle Paul, but he was caught up to paradise, and he saw these things that most people have not had the ability to see. And I know there have been people that have been caught up into heaven, and they come back and they tell people how beautiful heaven is. You know, they tell how maybe they died on an operating table, or maybe they was in a car wreck or something like that, and they was carried into heaven. You know, the Bible talks about the rich man in Luke chapter 16, I believe it is, and the rich man, he wouldn't do nothing for that beggar named Lazarus. And that beggar laid there at the rich man's at the rich man's gate. I will read you a little bit of that. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. You see, this rich man, he had a great opportunity. He had all this wealth that he had, and the opportunity that he had to serve God, and the opportunity that he had to be able to help somebody. But, you know, he wasn't going to turn loose none of that money that he had, none of that food, none of that wealth that he had. But he was going to hoard it up, and he was going to keep it. But he didn't realize that one day that somebody, the death angel, would be coming to his house and be knocking on his door. And he was uh, He wouldn't do anything for this man. It says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The dogs had more compassion on this man. It said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. But, you know, they took his body out there to the grave. They was probably a great possession of people followed there. You know, like today when we have a funeral and some great man dies, and there'll be a great possession following. And they'll follow him out there. And they'll hear the preacher preach, and they'll put that body in the ground. You know, they probably had a big show that day as far as people coming out that day when that rich man died. All his friends probably came out. And he might have done some good for his friends, we don't know. But he wouldn't do anything for this poor beggar. And that beggar laid there and begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. It says that the beggar died in verse 22. This is Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I was a-thinking, you know, that thief on the cross one day. I'll get back to this, probably. But that thief on the cross was a-hanging there. And Jesus was hanging between two thieves, a-dying on a cross for you and I. And that there one man said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, I believe Jesus went down there where this beggar was in Abraham's bosom. I believe he went down there and he told him. He said, destroy this body in 3 days. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. But he spoke about the temple of his body. And he said, they said, show us a sign, give us a sign. He said, there shall no sign be given unto this evil and adulterous generation, but the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So I believe Jesus went down there where this beggar man was. I believe he went into Abraham's bosom. I believe one day he brought them out and took them into heaven. I believe he moved paradise out of the heart of the earth, and he put paradise in heaven. Paul said he was caught up unto heaven and saw unspeakable things that was not lawful for him to talk about, not lawful for him to tell. And he called it paradise. And I believe that heaven is going to be more than a city, praise the Lord. I believe there's going to be a beautiful place there called paradise, because the Bible tells us so. Over there in Revelation, one place, it said that we would be able to eat of the tree of life, which was in the midst of the paradise of God. And so not only will there be a beautiful city over there, but I believe also that there'll be a place called paradise. And I don't know how beautiful that place might be, but I believe it'll be something like the Garden of Eden. And they had a beautiful place to live in. They had everything they needed when Adam was created, and God placed him in that beautiful country. And he gave him everything he needed, and he could eat of all the trees of the garden. And there was only one tree that he was not allowed to eat of, and that was the tree of good and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil. And he finally ate of that tree, but that got him in big trouble. But I want you to know that the rich man, Bible said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he wanted to be comforted, and he thought about his five brothers. And he told Abraham, he said, send Lazarus to my five brothers, that they don't come into this place of torment. And he was worried about his five brothers. You know, he wasn't worried about nobody when he was living on this side. Before he crossed over, he was just worried about living the best he could. He was just worried about keeping all of his money. And, you know, he wasn't worried about the poor and the beggars. But the beggar died. You know, one day you might be poor in this life, and you might not have anything down here, but I tell you, you're rich if you know Jesus. I tell you, when you cross over, when the Lord calls your number and your time comes, you're going to be one rich man or woman, boy or girl. You might be in a hospital bed fighting cancer or something like that. You may have heard a bad report, and they said you just got a few more days to go or a few more weeks or months. So, I tell you, if you'll get a hold of Jesus and you'll make him the Lord of your life, you'll repent of your sins. I tell you, you're going to be one rich person when you leave this world. And wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if the angels would carry us into heaven, praise the Lord, one of these days. You know, when we leave this body, this old body is dead without the spirit, but I'll tell you, the spirit of man will never die. We will live forever somewhere. And I want to live in that beautiful place. And if we give our heart to Christ, one day we're gonna be resurrected. This body is going to be reunited with the spirit and the soul of man. And we'll be able to live in a body, a brand new body, a body that will never die, never grow old, never get sick. And won't that be a beautiful time? Praise God. But the Bible said here in verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. You know, if we don't make heaven, if we end up in that other place called hell, there won't be no escape. There won't be no way out. It'll just be forever. And I don't want to end up there, and I don't want you to end up there. And I'm persuaded tonight that there is a heaven. I'm persuaded that people are going there, and I'm persuaded to believe also that I'm going to go there when this life is over. And now I'm thinking tonight, the Bible said there in Revelation 2 and 7, him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I said it just a little while ago, that heaven's going to be more than just a city. There's going to be a beautiful city there with four gates, and to that city, and Revelation 22, I think, talks about that, and Joanna read some there in chapter 21 about that beautiful city, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss making heaven my home. Now, I thought about in Revelation, you know, the Bible talks about many things. I thought about how she talked about in chapter 3 or chapter 4 how there was a door opened in heaven and a voice, a trumpet sounding, and a voice said, come up hither and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately he was in the spirit, and he saw the throne of God, and you know, and what it looked like and how it glowed and had a rainbow around it. Over it, and the 24 elders and all these things. And, you know, John got down to business when he was on that Isle of Patmos, and they had put him out there to die, but God had different plans. And I'll tell you, you can't die till God's done with you. When,
Amen.
When it's over, then it's over. But I tell you, we're going to keep believing God as long as we got breath in our body. And we're going to be telling of the good things of God. And I thought, you know, Paul on the going over there to Rome and got shipwrecked and got placed on that island. And, you know, that snake took a hold on him. He was putting wood on the fire, and that snake got a hold on him, you know. We're doing that tonight. We're trying to put wood on the fire. We're trying to get somebody warmed up. We're trying to get somebody to see the light. You know, you begin to build that fire, and you begin to put wood on that fire, and, you know, if it's dark out, and maybe it's midnight, and maybe there ain't no stars shining, and the moon ain't shining, and you're going to need some light. And I'll tell you, Jesus is a light to the world.
Yes.
And, you know, but Paul was a-putting wood on that fire, and that snake got a hold on him and grabbed him and bit into him, and he shook that snake off in the fire. And I'll tell you tonight, the devil might got a hold on you, but you can shake off that snake. You can shake that devil off if he's trying to put something on you tonight and trying to hold you down, and he's trying to bound you down with some kind of sin or something, and some kind of a habit. I tell you, you can shake that snake off in the fire. Just move a little closer to the fire. Get a little closer to Jesus. Just get slide over there and sit by him for a little while. And I'll tell you what, we get close to Jesus, and we'll find out that we'll start coming back to life if we've got a little deadness in us. We'll begin to warm up, and the blood will begin to flow, and we'll begin to think right, and we'll begin to talk right and do things like we need to do. And I'll tell you, we'll be getting ready to make heaven our home, and we'll be on that battlefield for God. And I thank God tonight that I'm on the battlefield, and I ain't laying my armor down, and I'm not going to retreat, and I'm not going to run. I'm not going to throw the light down. And I'll tell you, I got the standard bearer, and I'm holding up the flag of Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God. You know, we're living in a day when it seems like the standard bearer has fainted. But I tell you, there's some out there still holding the light, still hanging on, and still fighting the good fight. And praise God. I got off my message a little bit, but I tell you, I'm headed up the King's Highway, and I'm going to a place called heaven. Praise God. There's a light in that city.
Amen.
I'm looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and I'm looking to him because I know he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us always. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but I know one thing. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to turn it back here to Joanna for a few minutes.
Praise God. I was thinking about how we were talking in Revelation chapter 4 about the 12 elders around the throne, the 24 elders, I'm sorry, around the throne, and how, praise God, I found it here where it says in Revelation 5 and 8 through 10, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So that's the 24 elders around the throne. Is they were redeemed from heaven unto God. And so praise the Lord. I just thought I'd share that with you because I said a while ago that the Bible doesn't say who the 24 elders are, but we know they're redeemed from the earth to God. Praise the Lord. And I hope this here will bless you. Here we got another song, and it's called Beulah Land.
for a city to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, for time won't
praise God. Brother John, why don't you go ahead, brother, and share with us where your church is located and your service times.
Okay. Appreciate that. We're located in Thompson, Georgia, 114 East Main Street. Thompson, Georgia is about 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. And if you're in the area there, our Sunday Sunday services is Sunday school at 10 o'clock, regular church service, morning service at 11, and our Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock, and then our Wednesday evening service is also 6 o'clock. So if you're in the area, we'd just like for you to come and be with us, and so we just praise the Lord for what God is doing.
Praise God, and I tell you, when springtime, summertime comes and the Lord provides that way to get there, we'd sure love to come down and be with you in your congregation and just worship the Lord with you, and that would be wonderful. And
yes, we'd love to have you.
And Sister Gladys, go ahead and tell us there where you go to church and the location and your service time.
Okay, thanks, Sister Green. We go to Abundance of Rain. It's on 6367 U.S. Route 60, Polksville, Kentucky, which is real close to Salt Lake. It's Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and Sunday we have teaching at 10 a.m. and preaching at 11 a.m., and at 6 p.m. is our nighttime service. Everyone's welcome.
Praise God. We sure appreciate you all, and thank God that you all joined us tonight, and every time that you all can, it's a two-hour broadcast, and I tell you, it'd be hard to talk for 2 hours, so we sure do appreciate you all and appreciate the anointing in your lives. We can sure feel the love and the anointing that destroys yokes in people's lives, and we're just praying for good reports. And if you want to be a part of this broadcast, the next Friday, we're here at 10. Brother Yearwood has a broadcast on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's a two-hour broadcast as well. And you're welcome to friend request me if you like. I'm Joanna Wierick, W-Y-E-R-I-C-K, Green, G-R-E-E-N. Friend request me on Facebook, and then you can see when the Yearwoods are on, and you can click on the link. If you're a friend of mine, you could go to it easier that way. And then if you want to be with us next Friday, it's at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for 2 hours. And we go to Heavenly Highway Tabernacle with Pastor Billy Wilson and co-pastor Merle Seeley. And our service times is Sunday morning at 10, and then it's 6:30. P.M. Sunday night, and then Wednesday nights are 7:30 p.m., and Saturday nights are 7 o'clock p.m., and it's on 5990 Michael Road, Middletown, Ohio. Praise God. So I think we'll go ahead and we'll get this here one more song, and I believe we'll probably go out with this song. Praise God.
God bless you, Sister Green.
God bless you all. Love you all.
Love you too.
Love
somewhere beyond my grave,
Praise God. Good night, y'all.
Good night. God bless.
God bless. God bless.